When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Lumos. Hello, friends. Welcome back to Shellcast Radio. I'm your host, Ezra, a.k.a. Bill, also known as Sir Ezra the Watchful, History of Magic Professor, the Flannel Wizard, obviously. Yours truly, me. Please welcome your lovely design witch, the fascination of this year, Triwizard Champion herself, and my wonderful co-host and yours, Lottie, a.k.a. Fleur.
Hello and einen wunderschönen guten Tag. It's so good to have you back in our beautiful little cottage on the outskirts of Tinworth. Kommt rein und macht's euch gemütlich. Welcome to episode 92, in which we discuss Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. This week, we'll talk about chapter 13, Mad-Eye Moody. And for today's chapter discussion, we have a guest host back in the house. She's been here at Shell Cottage before, and Goblet of Fire has such a special place in her heart that we just had to discuss a chapter of this book with her. It's our loyal Hufflepuff and fellow badger who speaks more languages than Barty Crouch Sr. Welcome back to the cottage, Rieke. How have you been? How is summer in Berlin with Germany hosting the Euro Cup and everything?
Hi, thank you. I'm very happy to be back on the show. Summer in Berlin is great. Weather's strange, but today was really nice. And yeah, the Euro Cup, there's a lot of people.
I bet because the final is going to be in Berlin, correct?
Yeah, I think so. I'm actually not that into it.
Yeah.
I knew it.
I remember, so when I was little, my whole family, they all loved soccer. And my opa and my mom and my brother, they all loved Hertha BSC, the Berlin soccer team. One of the Berlin soccer teams, because now we have two big soccer teams. And they always took me to the game with them. And I remember my mom paid basically 20 euros for me to sit there. I was very little to play on my Game Boy. And I was like, oh, this is fun. I'm playing outside with some fresh air and people around you are all cheering. And then 2006 happened. I don't know. Really,
yeah,
you were probably quite
different.
Yeah, I was going to say you were probably quite young still. In 2006, because but you still remember that the World Cup took place in Germany, and that was like the biggest event where I really got into soccer. I watched the games. I got like all my classmates. We were all about soccer that year, that summer, and I remember it was for Germany. It was very sad because we only got third place.
Aww.
And it was kind of heartbreaking. But I remember. It was, everyone was wearing, the flag colors and everyone was talking about the games and the players. And it was so, so fun. And it really brings everyone together. And public viewing was a big thing that they started back then. And I bet now if you go to the Brandenburg Gate and you remember, you've seen the Brandenburg Gate. It looks very different now because they have the Fanmeile there, right? So they have lots of people.
Yeah. I've actually not been because usually that's my route to work.
Yeah.
But the bus is cancelled because of this Fanmeile thing.
Yes.
Gotcha. I take another road. So I haven't even been there yet, but
oh, wow.
I should check it out.
Yeah, and I bet there's, like you said, a lot of tourists. I think we read the other day when the game was in Stuttgart, the Scotland game, I think they said about 60,000 Scottish fans,
yeah,
or just people in general.
No, tourists. No, 60,000 Scottish fans, and not all of them were in. A lot of them were at watch parties outside of the stadium
because they couldn't get tickets,
couldn't get inside
and stuff.
Of it. Yeah.
It's wow. so fun.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Because, yes, we were talking about that. We were rooting for Scotland, and we were very happy yesterday that we saw they at least scored 1-1. So they still have a chance to advance to the next round.
Yeah, I haven't watched any game yet. I'm really bad with that.
Oh, no, that's fine. Totally get it. We just have it on in the background. And for us, it's convenient. Yeah. More convenient time. I guess it's not too late because it's like in the afternoon and we just have it on in the background. And yesterday was fun to watch. Nice. And
I think it was really the intrigue was that Scotland was playing Germany. And so we're like, well, that's kind of cool. You
yeah,
know,
that was the opening game. You know,
connected to us and it had this connection to like Harry Potter. And I was like, oh, that's cool. Like, go Scotland.
It does. And it totally connects to the first couple of chapters where we see the Quidditch World Cup and all the excitement around that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
And you said that was one of your favorite chapters too, when we see different, you know, wizards and witches from different nations and all coming together. That's fun.
Yeah, just Goblet of Fire is just a great book.
It is. I'm having so much fun reading it right now.
Yeah. You know, this conversation has been going on for about 5-6 minutes, and all I can think of is how young you two are. When you said 2006, I'm like, wow, okay. Both of you little youngsters.
I was, you were
Rico 12. Was 12.
Six.
Lord have mercy.
Six, yeah, 12. 12, 13. No,
yeah,
12.
Well, I think I was actually 9 because my birthday's in December.
So yes, so you were
in the World Cup, I would have still been 9.
Yeah. Oh, that's got to be important later in the chapter because we want to know about
birthdays.
Your birthday.
Yeah, my birthday's in December too. Hold on here. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember. We're kind of close, Ezra.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's wild.
You're going to tell us later your zodiac sign, and then we're going to look into planets. So I have a website pulled up here. Okay. So sounds good. So you've been enjoying the summer. I remember sometimes summer can get really hot in Berlin.
Is it hot there right now, or is it?
Is it
Not yet.
Not yet?
Not yet, like kind of. It's
okay.
It's getting there.
Yeah.
There's like a heat wave here, and so... Yep. I know this is an American thing, the air con, the air conditioner.
Oh yeah, heat waves here are nothing like heat waves in Germany, you know, because you just, everywhere you go, there's air con, your car has air con, the store has air con, your own house has air conditioning. And
now,
we
didn't turn it on though until the heat wave hit. I just want to be like, just for
we
my
were very
American
German.
Listeners.
We opened the windows, but now it's like 36 degrees, so I said,
oh,
okay,
well. No, we're at like 25. Maybe,
oh, that sounds nice.
So
25 degrees.
Definitely fine.
Is around.
It's just very humid. Like we have this strange, you know, the air feels really heavy.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's like 77. Okay, that's not bad. That for us, for just to convert for Americans, the 25 degrees Celsius would be like 77 Fahrenheit.
Nice,
so, because right now it's like 95.
Yeah, closer
so,
to
which
100
would be,
degrees.
What would that be in?
36,
35.
Something.
35.
Yep, yeah, there you go. Yeah. So, one thing I want to know, Rika, before we dive into our not our trivia training this time, but we're going to do something different. What is your? Do you already have a favorite ice cream place in Berlin?
Oh, I don't really like ice cream.
Oh, you don't eat ice cream. Well, good. That's good for you because ice cream is our guilty pleasure for sure. And I remember, do you remember that ice cream place that also had like
vegan
ice cream?
Yeah.
And different sorbets. It was near Boxhagenplatz.
Yeah, it was. Mm. Well, I just remember that I went there and it all tastes good to me. So I was like, all right. And you guys were all like, there was a bunch of these different vegan ice cream places.
Oh, yeah. They.
What's the stuff that's where it's not really cream based, but it's like...
sorbet.
Yeah. That,
right?
Yeah.
Like mango sorbet. And,
Yeah. You guys were getting those. And
they're so good.
That was pretty wild. I was like, this is tasty. I think it maybe was more tasty because I had just gotten to Germany and I was sitting... I'm looking at this street going like, this is everything I thought it was going to be. This is amazing.
Yeah.
Like in America, you go to grab an ice cream and there's a semi truck sitting there, a bunch of smoke rolling by.
Right.
And you're like, okay. But the birds were chirping and there was
right,
this peaceful patio.
Right.
And
there's not a whole lot of cars going by. And you have, these outside areas that are very nice where everyone sits and just has their drinks and food. Yeah.
Yeah. I do like this one, like ice cream manufacturer, but I get it at the supermarket. Which is Florida Ice.
Yeah, Florida Ice. I remember those. Oh, they were so good.
Yeah. So they have a vegan Waldmeister one. I have no clue what Waldmeister would be in English.
Oh, good question. I feel like I have looked this up once in my life. So I get flashbacks right now. Because this is a very specific flavor. It's like green woodruff.
Woodruff? Yes.
That's what Google says. Woodruff.
What is that?
It's a very specific flavor. It's really good.
Really?
I don't
serious?
Even know what it is. I think it's a plant. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't know what it looks like. I just have it in ice cream and like other sweet stuff.
Oh, that's true. It's like there's also woodruff syrup.
Okay.
Which is really good in drinks.
And lemonades and jelly.
Yes, and jelly. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm seeing it here.
Oh, I guess it's a pretty European thing. I've never seen the flavor here in
this
ice cream stores.
This website I'm looking at is literally called Spoonfuls of Germany. That's
what
it says.
There you go.
And so I'm like, wow, okay. And it just, they're talking about woodruff flavor and what that flavor is and how
we'll
it relates
have to. We'll have you try some woodruff next time we go.
Down. I'm down. Looks cool.
Yeah.
That makes me hungry for ice cream. do we have a would you rather with ice cream?
Oh, that's, I mean, you could just do anything. Like, yeah, well, we already kind of know what, I mean, for Rika, it would be, this would be her flavor, right? So I was thinking about in terms of flavors. Yeah, for us, I mean, if you can only pick, I mean, between me and you, I don't know. I know you love chocolate. Right?
Yeah, but ice cream, not the chocolate ice cream.
No.
I like chocolate as it is, but not in ice cream.
You like chocolate pieces in your ice cream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, unfortunately, I have grown very fond of putting candy in your ice cream.
Oh.
Here, that's a thing here.
That sounds American.
Yes, like Reese's cups in your ice cream.
There's not enough. I mean, there's not enough sugar in the ice cream.
We all
need to throw our own
candy
in there.
We need our piece of candy in there too. I think we all remember from McDonald's McFlurry with M&M's or Smarties in Germany. That was the thing.
True.
And they put all kinds of candy in your ice cream. It is pretty good, but that's why we're trying to say not
it's
have
lot,
it too
though.
Often.
Right.
Okay. So do you want to
start we have
us
a
off
couple,
with some would you rathers?
And I could just do this between, both you and Rika, really.
Right. And then the last one I'll do between Rika and you.
Okay. Okay. Sounds good. So these are just a couple that I found online. We're leading into a final would you rather that's going to kind of take us into our chapter discussion. So it's, would you rather this or would you rather that?
Yeah.
And essentially, here we go. So first we'll go to Rika. Would you rather have Ron or Hermione as a friend? So this is an easy
one. If you only could have one?
Yeah, you can only have one.
Oh.
Making people choose, making hard decisions.
Harry is not an option.
I think I would pick Hermione. I just think she's a better communicator, better friend.
Yeah. boy, Ron's, even in this chapter, his communication is pretty, I don't know. He's something. I think he's funny, but he's good for a laugh. But when you really need a good friend, I mean, he's got your back, but he's also just.
Oh, I see. You're eating again.
Yeah, he's also in this phase right now where currently where we're at in the book. I'm like,
oh yeah, it's.
I don't know. It's a little
interesting
about to get
between
dicey
those
with Ron,
two later.
So Lottie, what do you think?
Oh yeah, okay. So I agree with Rika because. Well, yeah, for one thing, Ron would be kind of fun to just have classes with him, but I don't think I'd necessarily be one of his best friends, and I would definitely bond more with Hermione over, like, doing good in school, and I think I would be more into Quidditch than she is, but yeah, I think I would definitely choose her over Ron as a friend, especially at that age. Yeah.
To be honest with you, I'm with you guys.
Good.
I think she's actually, way nicer, and I like her a lot.
Because, I mean, Ron is a good friend. He stands up for you if you're friends with him. But so does Hermione. Like, the things she says and does for Hagrid.
Oh, for sure.
Stuff, yeah. So,
definitely. And she's just more mindful of everyone. I think Ron is very just my friends.
Yeah.
Right.
True.
Yeah.
Even though one argument for Ron would be spending the summers at the Barrow as his friend. Oh, that would be amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing That's against Hermione. Cool. Her parents are probably wonderful, but man, I would love to just hang out at the Barrow.
The perk of being with the Weasleys in the summer is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I would befriend Ginny, so.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go. You can be friends with Ginny and Hermione. That sounds good. Yeah, Ginny never brings friends over in the summer.
She should.
I mean, at least we don't see any other friends.
Yeah. And actually,
but I mean, Luna lives kind of close, right?
True.
So they maybe they meet up.
That'd be a cool. Yeah, that'd be cool to think about that they kind of meet up sometimes and do fun stuff together and talk about school or other things.
Yeah.
They are in the same year, right? Luna and Ginny are.
Are they? I don't know.
I think so too. So.
Yeah. Because
Ginny defends her against some bullies, I think.
Yeah, and she's the one. Ginny is the one who introduces them to Luna, because Luna's in her year. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Nice. Okay. Two more, and then we'll get to this week's topic. Would you rather be a pro? So, would you rather be a pro or an expert at transfiguration or apparition? The ability to apparate.
Apparition.
Oh, that was quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I would hate to apparate. Like, I get very travesty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But being able to just get somewhere without the whole journey.
Traveling part, yeah.
That's funny.
Ooh. You were quick to decide. I think... Wow, that's a good would you rather. Like a pro means you just are really, really good at it.
Extremely, expert at it. No mistakes, just
And transfiguration,
nature.
Though, is not just you transfigure yourself, but more like other things, right?
Yeah.
Anything.
You could, anything. Yeah.
Well, I think I like the idea of transforming yourself into something like an animal. That'd be super cool. But if it's just about transfiguring other things, I would also pick apparition probably.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, because we're learning and it seems like not everybody has a license. It's not like something that they all pass automatically and it is a little trickier thing. There's still other modes of transportation, right?
That's true, though. Yeah.
So it's like, well, I'm just saying that, like, I feel like you still have to go through different ways to, like the flu powder stuff, right? I don't know if I'd want to do that. I'd rather be good at, apparition and just get there. Then you have more time, too, at home. Like, you have more time to kind of get stuff done. And instead of leaving, well, for me, my gosh, I could save probably 2 hours a day in my commute.
Oh yeah, true.
Think about that. Oh my god, that'd be wild.
Same.
From and to work. Yeah.
Oof, it's crazy. But so okay, cool. Yeah, that's kind of an interesting one though. Transfiguration or apparition. Now this next one is a doozy. So here we go. To Tarika first. Would you rather spend every weekend with the Malfoys, or have Christmas every Christmas with Argus Filch for the next 10 years? So you have 10, it's 10 year time frame where you're every weekend with the Malfoys or every Christmas
would
with
Christmas
Filch.
With Filch include that you're just with Filch, or would you bring him to your family gathering?
I am going to imagine that this is Filch is at
just
Hogwarts.
You and Filch.
You're staying. Yeah, it's you and Filch and it's just you guys celebrating Christmas on the holiday. And it's not just one day. It is the Christmas break. So it's the way I interpret it.
Wow.
I think I would do weekends with the Malfoys.
Okay.
Because they have a huge house. You could avoid them.
Right, right.
And I love Christmas too much. I couldn't sacrifice Christmas.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, every weekend versus just one day?
No, I'm saying this is like sort of your Christmas holiday.
Oh, like the full 2 weeks?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, I would say it's just the 24th, 25th.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
But the next 10 years with...
Every Christmas for the next 10 years, you're with Filch.
But then every weekend, I have to be at Malfoy Manor. And I don't know, maybe you become really good friends with Malfoy and learn cool things about
Yeah, maybe they're not so bad.
Yeah, maybe they're not And also, you might be on, you know, on their good side. That might be a good thing.
Right, right.
I don't know. That's a tricky one. I think the problem is I wouldn't want to spend Christmas, you know, without my family, without you, without everyone. But if it was just one day versus I get every weekend back.
You would do the Filch thing. You and Filch would be hanging out.
I might
out.
Just say, okay, I'll just stay that one day for Christmas and come over the next day to spend it with my family. But I guess that doesn't count. I think you have to spend the whole Christmas, all the holidays with him. But I don't know. Maybe Filch isn't too bad. Maybe it's interesting.
He's got a cat.
We don't know. He has a cat. That's a huge... I mean, maybe Malfoy has too. But I think maybe he's an interesting character and there's some things you could learn about him too that we don't know from his past.
What if he just puts on this persona in front of the kids and he's really some sweet, you know, easygoing and he's just trying to act all. Because he's got like the masses, like all these students he has to kind of like put the fear into, stop spilling stuff and doing different things. And he's really just this sweet.
I would introduce him to Mrs. Fig and see if they become friends.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so I'll choose. Well, I don't know. I have to choose one. Probably Malfoy's too in the end. If it really comes down to it and they have to do it.
I would choose Filch.
You would?
I would choose Filch.
Well, if you're at Filch's, then I'm at Filch's, so. Oh,
okay. Well, I'm imagining that the Christmas spirit maybe brings out a better side of him.
Okay.
You know? Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Good question, though.
We should hope.
Here's my last question, which will lead us into this chapter. Okay, so, Rieke, you have done something really bad you shouldn't have done at Hogwarts, and they're going to assign you a detention, but they're going to say you can choose between this or that. Your first option for detention is to spend a whole Saturday with Professor Sprout, and you have to squeeze out some pus out of the booba tubers all day long. Or your second option is spend that Saturday with Hagrid, and you have to take care of the blast-ended scroots all day long. You have to try figure out what they eat and...
You have to tend to them.
Right, you have to tend to them. You have to, like, if they, you know, have to go to the bathroom, you have to clean it up and all that stuff. So what would be your detention of choice?
I think I would go with Sprout.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I'm a Hufflepuff.
There you go.
I like plants.
Yes.
Yeah,
and
you're in the greenhouse.
Honestly, you know... It seems oddly satisfying.
Right. They say that in the chapter.
Yeah.
I think you get used to it over time.
Yeah. I don't think I would mind that much. I would mind the scroots.
Okay.
And the scroots are dangerous.
They are. Plus, you're doing something good for Madame Pomfrey, and, you know, some students might need the pus.
Well, what's her name? Eloise.
Midget. Yeah, Midget, right? Mm-hmm. She'd be very happy about that.
It's weird. They say, what do they say about the pus stuff? They say it smells really bad or it's like not really...
Yeah, it does smell bad.
Yeah.
It smells like gasoline.
But I feel like you could do something, you know, magically. I'm sure Sprout's got something.
Right? For the
but
smell.
I'm sure they won't do that when you're in detention.
Ah, true.
Right, they want you to feel the pain.
That's true. Detention's serious at
Good
Hogwarts.
Point. So what would you do?
Well, I would be with Rieke. Yeah.
Yeah, you guys are helpful.
Yeah, we'd be chilling.
Together.
We'd be sitting there just like, you know, just popping these things. And like, I would figure out some way to sneak in something for our noses. So we're like, good, you know, we could just sit back and
just
enjoy
it. Make sure
it.
You don't squeeze it too hard and it pops right into your face.
Yeah. Ugh. But I mean, Sprout's cool. She's chill. I feel like, you know, she'd be like, you guys are good. I'm not even going to watch you guys. You guys just do your thing. And she's going to like bounce versus Hagrid might be there all day talking to us about who knows what and feeding us rock cakes. And I don't know if I could. I mean, I love Hagrid, but Sprout just feels more chill. So,
I agree. And after playing Hogwarts Legacy and seeing all the greenhouses, and even I was watching the old games, just watching the playthrough on YouTube, and my favorite parts were whenever they were in the greenhouses or you know, in the grounds outside and stuff. I mean, you were outside with Hagrid too, but the greenhouses just have that, I don't know, just calming vibe. And I think I would be with you guys too.
Yeah.
So That was an easy one, I guess.
Right.
Okay, are we ready for the summary?
Okay. Chapter 13, Mad-Eye Moody. The next morning, the storm has passed, and Harry, Ron, and Hermione begin their first day of school as fourth graders. Hermione has decided to eat again, but is determined to find another way to support the house elf rights. Meanwhile, Harry watches owl after owl swoop into the Great Hall as the mail arrives. He is eagerly awaiting news from Sirius, but Hedwig is nowhere to be seen. The three examine their course schedules and find out that they'll be starting the day with the Hufflepuffs in Herbology. Down in Greenhouse Number 3, Professor Sprout introduces her fourth-year students to the Boobertuber plant. She assigns them the unpleasant task of squeezing the Boobertubers to collect pus for medical use. According to Professor Sprout, the pus is especially helpful when treating severe cases of acne. The Gryffindors then move on to their next class, Care of Magical Creatures, with the Slytherins. Hagrid proudly presents his latest crossbred creatures to the class, Blast-Ended Scroots. These lobster-like beasts are a hybrid between manticores and fire crabs. Even Hagrid himself doesn't know much about them yet, and it's the students' task to study the creatures and find out what they eat. Unfortunately, the Scroots show quite harmful tendencies, such as stinging, sucking blood, and blasting sparks from their rear ends. Malfoy seizes the opportunity to embarrass Hagrid by questioning the purpose of raising them in the first place. Hagrid doesn't seem to have a good answer, but Hermione stands up for him and argues they may have undiscovered useful properties, much like dragon's blood. At lunch, however, she admits to Ron and Harry that she only wanted to protect Hagrid. She actually agrees with Malfoy. It's probably pointless raising the blast-ended Scroots, if not straight-up dangerous. Hermione devours her food in record time, so that she has time to go to the library before afternoon classes start. Ron can't believe she already wants to study on their first day back to school. The two boys finish their lunch and then head upstairs to the North Tower to attend divination. Harry's disdain for the subject is reinforced by Professor Trelawney's gloomy predictions for him when welcoming the class. She reveals that they'll be studying the movements of the planets and the stars this term. They spent the lesson looking at planetary constellations of their birthdays. At the end, Trelawney assigns them an unusual amount of homework because Ron couldn't help but make that obviously inappropriate joke about a certain planet. The day concludes at dinner with Malfoy openly ridiculing Ron and his family over a Daily Prophet article. It's a column by Rita Skeeter, who is trying to frame Mr. Weasley's involvement in the dustbin incident related to Mad-Eye Moody as another ministry scandal. Malfoy goes on insulting the picture of Molly Weasley and the Prophet. Ron is shaking with anger, and Harry and Hermione grab him by the arms to hold him back. But Harry feels the need to defend Mrs. Weasley too. He returns the insults by making fun of Mrs. Malfoy's sour facial expressions. Here, the evening takes a dramatic turn. In front of everybody, Malfoy fires a curse at Harry. This causes his new Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher to interfere. In a surprising display of discipline, Moody transforms Malfoy into a ferret and bounces him around the floor until interrupted by Professor McGonagall. The deputy headmistress is shocked by Moody's unconventional approach to discipline. She reprimands her new staff member and recommends that he take Draco to his head of house instead. Moody agrees and drags Malfoy away towards Snape's office. Ron is absolutely delighted at Malfoy's predicament and totally impressed with Moody's coolness and direct approach. Even Fred, George, and Lee admit that their first lesson with him was amazing and left a deep impression on them. Both Harry and Ron now can't wait for their upcoming Defense Against the Dark Arts class this Thursday.
Very good.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Rick, any initial thoughts on this chapter? Did you enjoy reading it, and anything that really stuck out to you?
I did really enjoy it. I think it's one of those where you really get like the day-to-day life at Hogwarts, which yeah. We all really enjoy.
Yes.
But it's also, and there's a lot in there, like the Scroots and divination. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, I remember divination was when we had you on last time. That was also a huge topic. So it's interesting that it worked out that you're back now for that lesson here.
I actually was reading like the chapter and I had like a pencil and I saw Trelawney's name and I drew a little heart.
So. Aww.
I'm a Trelawney fan now.
Yeah.
Also, it's one of those chapters you read or you think about very differently when you read it as an adult.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
all the puberty, all the jokes. I mean, the jokes are fine, like you can still laugh, but then how Moody punishes Malfoy is
right
a little problematic, I would say.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's also funny the little insults they throw at each other, and they're like, oh, your mother, mother.
What's
like, don't you talk about my mother that
way. It's ridiculous because it's relatable. Like, over I remember that being the case when I was a kid. I still teach kids, and every year they're it's the same. Yeah. It's the same lame, dumb humor that you're like, okay, they're cracking up. And now I'm like looking at these kids like, that is not, the your mom jokes are like not that, they still go on. They'll never probably stop. I don't even know what, and so here it is, Ron and Draco just going after each other. It's ridiculous.
Right? Plus, you also think, like, Trelawney, every year she has fourth years where she starts talking about planetary movements, and it's probably not the first time she's heard that joke.
Probably not.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Although, I have to say, Rika, I was doing something this past week, and Lottie's like reading the chapter and stuff. And again, this is a reread, and I don't, you don't remember every single line. And so like Lottie walks over and she's just like, hands me the book and she's like, read this. Like a 16-year-old boy, I started busting up laughing. And I was like, I don't know, I'm sorry. It's kind of, I was like, holy smokes. It was just funny because like, you brought it over.
Foreshadowing.
I was like, is that in the
Lavender
book?
And Ron.
Yeah, I think it's what you said. You're like, this foreshadows, like they're getting together later. And I was like, oh my gosh. So ridiculous. But couldn't help it. It's just, teen humor. It's crazy. Anyway.
Yeah. Also, another thing is we get the first look at Moody's eye. Like he can look through the back of his head.
Yeah.
Those things.
That's kind of crazy to think about, right?
Right. Like, what can he see? Like, I was actually thinking when we were listening to the chapter today, I was like, yeah, what does it? Like, imagine you are, put yourself in, Mad-Eye Moody's body for a second. And it's kind of a weird thing to think about, but like, are you transform or you take Polyjuice potion and then your eye can like move around and you can see backwards. I can't even imagine, like I'm trying to think about right now what that would be like. What am I seeing behind me right now?
Right.
A wall.
And do you see like the inner, like your inner body?
It almost feels like it would be like an x-ray or something. It would feel like that would be like a hazy filter. Like imagine you see like a filter on, I don't know, like in just some sort of transparency. Right. Yeah. And you can kind of see through it. But then on the other side, you can, I don't think it's like crystal clear. Right. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's like super clear when you look back through your own head as to what you can see. But then again, I don't know. He can see through invisibility cloaks and he can see through other things. So.
Yeah. Which is kind of crazy. Do you see, also, can you see like, let's say behind this wall in front of me, but then can I also see through the next wall of the next like house?
I think it can. I think in the fifth book, they are in the kitchen at Grimald's place, and he looks up like a story or two into a cabinet.
Oh, that's right. With the, what's in there?
The Boggart?
Boggart, yeah.
Yeah. Boggart. Yeah.
Good point.
You're right.
Good,
so
Rika.
I imagine, in my head, I would imagine the eye is like, you can will it to look, I don't know, if you just want to look one room further, just go there.
Yeah, almost like we can focus on something that's closer to you and something that's further away. You won't, like, if I focus on the thing closer to me, everything becomes blurry behind it or the other way around. I guess that's what you can kind of do with that eye, just with different layers. And I guess there is a limit to it. Like, at some point, you can't see anymore because it's too far away. But yeah, I think...
This is magical. I guarantee you he can see from one side of the world. If he looks through the ground, he can see to the other side of the world, and he knows
right through the Earth's core.
Through the Earth's core, he can see, he knows what's going on. No, I'm kidding. But like that depth perception or whatever, where you can kind of focus, like maybe you fine tune how far you want to see. That's a great point, because I am recalling, he looks up and he sees like several stories up, sees the Boggart. It's nuts.
Yeah.
It's powerful. It almost is. Like super. How did he make that? How did he?
Yeah, where did that come from?
Because he loses his
magic.
Eye.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like.
Did he create it?
I don't know. It's surprising that it can see through an invisibility cloak, I guess.
I would imagine like it comes from some sort of magical creature that had some sort of abilities, and you just enhance those abilities and. You know, how dragon's blood, or they all have these magical abilities, and they take, some of the invisibility cloaks, for example, they're made of demiguy's hair and stuff like that.
Okay.
So I would imagine maybe there is an animal like that who can do, to some degree, can see through things.
Yeah.
And they just take that and put it into this eye or something. I don't
know. Right. That's cool.
Just the theory. yeah, anything, so you said the eye was pretty significant to you. Anything else like about the moody scene that stuck out with the fairy?
It seems very violent. Like,
yes,
he's like smashing him down on the floor and everything, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Hermione says it later. He could have really hurt Malfoy.
Yeah.
She's the best.
We also have to remember it's not Moody.
Yep.
No. Yeah. True.
Which that's like this pent up anger, probably, right? That he's, because he says, you know, I could, you know, in the movie, it's different than the book, but it's essentially the same idea is that he has an issue with Lucius Malfoy.
Exactly.
Right? And him not returning and them not trying to seek out the Dark Lord and all that kind of stuff. And he basically says, go tell your father that, you know.
Mm-hmm. I'm watching you. I'm keeping an eye
on
him.
It's like a threat, right?
Which is funny because both him and Moody can say that. Like, both Barty Crouch, from his perspective, could say that. But also Moody, because he was looking for Death Eaters, could say that. So.
Yeah. I actually marked this place where, like, Malfoy is already back to being a human.
Yeah.
Moody says, like, well, I know your father of old, and, like, I know him. And then they talk about Snape, and he's like, oh, yeah, another old friend of mine. And it's like this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This double thing if you have Moody or Barty Crouch Jr. And
Right. It's very interesting how he phrases that, because, of course, like, he doesn't like that both of them were not locked up in Azkaban but never made any attempts to seek out their master. Yeah, and he's mad at that. And I wonder if back in the day they were actually friends, or if there was some sort of rivalry between Snape and Barty Crouch Jr., who was, like, you know, the closest to Voldemort and, like, the best, like second in command.
I think Barty Crouch Jr. is, like, way younger though, right? Mm-hmm. Wasn't he super young when he got into it? Like, Regulus, more or less?
Yeah.
I think this is what they're saying here, is he's around 33 or 34 right now, I think.
Then he's not too far away from Snape.
Wait a second. Let me triple check. Because I think he's younger too.
But you're right though. It's been, 12, 13 years? Let's look this up, because he might have, do you think he might have gone to school with one of the Weasleys, or?
Well, so this is saying he was 19 years old in 1989 when, according to Sirius, when he was sent to Azkaban. But I gotta check all the sources on this stuff to make sure it's right. But
that would mean he did go to school with Bill, I think. Maybe. Because when Harry and Hermione, this is their fourth year and it's 94, so they started Hogwarts in 1990, and then 80 if he graduated not long before Harry went to school.
Okay, this says Hogwarts years Barty Crouch Jr. attended from 1973 until 1980.
Okay, yeah, that makes more sense.
So that's what it says.
1980.
So. And then he's like a few years younger than Snape.
Yes.
But not so many.
He might have been, they probably went to school for a little bit together. Yeah. And
I also always forget that Snape
is younger, I know, right? Yeah. Yeah, because Lily and James were super young when they had Harry. They were like 20 or 21 or something, right after school almost. And then Snape was their age. So, yeah, right now he's in his 30s.
Yeah, I forget that.
While you're looking this up and confirming the timeline here. So we have two reasons, actually, I think, why Moody, aka Barty Crouch Jr., intervenes in such an extreme way. So one, we just mentioned, he's mad at Lucius Malfoy and kind of wants his revenge. And then also to distract from the article that Malfoy just read and the incident with the dustbins, right? So because Malfoy reads out loud, he just wants to mock Ron in this article because his father was mentioned, and his father, interestingly enough, Draco knows that it's not Arnold is not actually Ron's father's name, where I'm like, oh, you're so obsessed with the Weasleys. Who knows? I mean, even if you're a friend, like, remember your school friends, would you be able to name all their father's first names, let alone people you're not even friends with, would you know their father's first names? And yes, you could say, well, Lucius like his dad would talk about Arthur Weasley at home, but for some reason I would think he would not say, well, Arthur did this and this and I met Arthur today, but I would more think like even Harry, Ron, and Malfoy, they call each other by last names, so I would more, I don't know, I would think he would just say, oh, the Weasley guy was there again. So I just think it's first of all interesting that Malfoy knows Ron's father's first name and knows that's not his actual name. But then he didn't even intend to draw this attention to the Moody incident. But of course, Barty Crouch Jr. does not want people to really think about this too much. So he creates this whole other thing where people talk more now about the ferret thing than the article itself.
Yeah, that makes sense. So. It's kind of twofold. Yeah. One, it's a chance to kind of get at Malfoy, you know, and then also build a relationship towards, you know, with Harry Potter, right? And make sure that he's got your back, Potter.
Right.
He was trying to curse you about when your back was turned. Yeah. And also, yeah, let's not be talking about that article. Like, let's shut that down too.
Right.
It could work three ways there. Hmm. So, just to confirm real quick. So Snape is, 2 years older.
He's just okay. They did spend a little bit of time at Hogwarts together.
Crazy. Yeah. Hmm. I thought Snape was much older too, because when they bring Barty Crouch Jr. in for trial, he's like this crying teenager, you know, just.
Yeah.
And he seems, they make him out to be so much younger.
I mean, Snape was very young too when he joined, though, because I don't think he did anything. He didn't. Did he start teaching right away? And this is this big mystery. Can you just, I mean, Tom Riddle was denied to be a teacher because he was too young. He wasn't experienced enough. What do you have to do to become a teacher, right? It seems like they just send you away and say, well, you just finished school. You can't just be a teacher. But then what do you do? Like, what do you have to do? You don't, there's no university or anything like college we know of. Mm-hmm. And it seems very random how they choose their professors.
Yeah.
That anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I also think like the difference between Barty Crouch and Snape, how they would act at that young age is their upbringing, because I think Snape was like very independent as a child already. Mm-hmm. And Barty Crouch Jr. seems like a very spoiled child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like his mother loved him so much. His father, I don't know, they have money.
True. Right. But he was also seeking the attention of his father.
Absolutely.
And we were like talking about it the other day, that he, you know, his father wouldn't really spend time with him and see him, so he had to become a Death Eater to get his father's attention, kind of.
Yeah. I think Rika's right, though, because, like, the reason we think that Snape is so much older is because of his upbringing, what he's had to endure, and then sort of he just presents himself as more mature. You know, we teach students all the time who they're the same age, but one of them seems much more mature. We were just talking about Ron and Hermione. Hermione is mature for her age, and she's definitely well put together. And it's like, I feel the same way with Snape, and plus you give him those 2 years where he's older, and he's, it felt like Barty Crouch Jr. was just this little devotee that was also worshiping the ground that Voldemort walked on, and didn't have as much ambition himself, just wanted to kind of be, I mean, he is, but seemed like he wanted to be more, he was interested in Bellatrix, and he was interested in all the other higher up Death Eaters and getting in there with them. Whereas Snape seemed to kind of, he had a different type of confidence, because he knows stuff.
Right.
I mean, it's sort of like, I guess when you are as power, I like to think about their power scaling, and it's just something fun I do. But I think about Snape, and I'm like, he doesn't have to do a whole lot. He doesn't have to like over exaggerate his presence or power or whatever. He just is, because he's you wouldn't mess with him.
Yes.
I don't think. And they do mess with him. I know he is picked on and stuff. And for a while there, he is sort of, he goes through this bullying stuff at Hogwarts, but I think he quickly knows like a lot of dark arts and a lot of curses, hexes, and jinxes and different things that he just presents more confident, more mature, older, and
For sure. So. Seems like Barty Crouch Jr., he would just blindly do anything that Voldemort tells him to do, versus Snape is more of like, he would think about, I don't know, think more about it and not just blindly follow
everything. Yeah.
I mean,
what's crazy, I would love to see this whole thing break down. Like, I'd love to see, like, maybe more of a, I don't know, like a TV show or something where they did show us sort of the first Wizarding World and what was this, or this, you know, vault during the 80s, you know, sort of what was going on. Because it seems like Snape is sort of like, as long as this is just sort of messing around with people and it, like, but people were dying and vanishing. So how much of that did he know? Because Dumbledore is sickened by the fact that he's even with Voldemort, and he kind of, I wonder if Voldemort is sort of like at first cloaking this in a way that's not super dark arts, so you attract more people because you don't want people to know that you're absolutely that crazy. You want to try to present it in a way that's like more, you get people in closer to you, and then you start to slowly reveal how dark this really is, and then people are like, oh shoot, we're already kind of guilty because we're here. I think they could do a ton with that. They could actually really go, you could start to figure out like why he's there, because he's bitter about, you know, the Marauders and a bunch of other things, and he wants to kind of, you know, I don't know, he's interested in the dark arts and wants power and whatnot. But yeah, sorry, I get fascinated by just like what that story would be and what all was going on. I wish we had more lore. I wish we had more stuff around it, more books and shows and things. So,
yeah, now that you said that would be interesting. Also just very like current, you know, with political movements as well. The parallels would be an interesting show.
Absolutely. And I mean, everybody would love to see a Marauder show, but why not all tie it together?
They could build right into each other. Right. And that's a whole time period. Like, yeah, like Rika's saying, it's like there's a lot of this is going on politically in the world. And we have it would be a great narrative. There's themes. You can see characters sort of go through this fictional world where it does happen. There's parallels, and you're like, well, people don't realize what they're getting into, or they want to play with fire because they think it's funny for a hot second, and they don't realize, oh wait, actually that's not okay. But now I'm over here, I'm kind of in, like, what do I do? How do I come out and say, like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. It's you know, I feel like we need a story like that where people, it's okay to change your mind.
Yes.
And it's okay to go back and say, look, I'm sorry about that. That's not.
Yeah.
Didn't mean, I should never have been there, and just own it. Walk away. Like, you need stories to tell people that's okay, because the day and age we live in is pretty crazy.
Right.
And also that it's possible to get out, because I think it is very difficult to get out of those circles.
100%.
Mm-hmm. And dangerous. But yeah.
Yeah, it's also like the echo chamber that you're in sometimes, right? Like, if that's all you're hearing and you surround yourself with dark arts, dark arts, dark arts, and that's all you hear, and you never hear another perspective, well, it's kind of, that's not great. I mean, it's not great to just hear one thing and not to, that's why we always want people to diversify and get out into the world and learn different things from everyone else and experience lots of different cultures and beliefs and ideas. And when you're just sort of in that echo chamber, especially when it's negative and toxic like that, that's, I feel like it's why, because I look at the Malfoy sometimes and I'm like, man, I don't know, like towards the end I feel like they thought it was kind of fun to be close to it, but Lucius is like, actually I really don't want to be this involved with it. And then once he has a child, you know, your life changes too, and he's sort of like, okay,
and they're getting after your child.
This is stupid. Like, I don't know, it just, people find out there's a line where they go too far. It would be thrilling. It'd be interesting. You have a huge Harry Potter community. Like, they went far back with, like, Fantastic Beasts. I know this is a little bit away from the chapter, but, you know, Lottie and I were talking the other day about the disconnect with Fantastic Beasts and why is it there? Why don't people like that more in the fandom? And I feel like, I don't know, maybe it's just because of the names of the characters. And sometimes when you can kind of correlate, like, oh, you've got the name Potter, you've got Sirius Black, you've got other characters, and you go back just a little bit before the series, you might get a lot of people really into that type of storytelling.
And I like what Rika said about that, you can, you know, even it's hard to get out of it, but you can change your mind, and if you want help, you can probably get it. Because probably even before Voldemort went to the Potter's house and everything, think about Snape as, he's probably already regretting certain things, and he knows he's already too far, too deep into this. But I can imagine him thinking about Lily from time to time and thinking of you know, what have I done and what have I said? I don't think he meant what he said. And he was just regurgitating certain ideas from this group. But he actually, I mean, we know he loves Lily and as a friend and probably more than that. And the,
well,
yeah, I think he probably thought about a, how do I get out of this and become Lily's friend again, or just in general walk my own path. But it was, it seemed like it was for him, he didn't know how.
That's a really, I just have to say real quick as a teacher, sometimes I gotta put my serious cap on. I like to like joke around and whatever, but when there's a teachable moment, like for a lot of my students, you hear this, the insult that they grab or that they go for happens to be one that is maybe at home or that was close by, and they don't fully understand the connotation of it.
Right.
They don't understand connotation, meaning like all of the meanings associated with that word, all of the history and all of the, all that kind of stuff. Right. And kids, especially when he's that age, he's just grabbing for the words that his friends use, and he wants to say something. Right. And I see this all the time. And unfortunately, I kid you not, the last 2 years I've started off my school year as a teacher, I have had two freshmen, brand new kids coming in from middle school, mouthy as eighth graders. They're coming in as ninth graders. They pop off and say these things. Thank goodness we have some more mature students in the school who are like, hey, actually, you can't say that anymore. Like, that's not acceptable. Yeah. And so they come report it to a teacher. Got to take them down, talk about it. And they feel embarrassed and they feel like, oh, my gosh, it's OK. It's a growing.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
Vacation starts with VA. Whether you're feeling beachy, mountainy, or every-y in between, you'll find all that you love all in one trip to Virginia. Start yours at virginia.org.
Time for you to be educated and to learn and understand that that's just not an appropriate term to use in school. And I feel like people bring up the where he insults Lily, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's totally not acceptable whatsoever at all. But I see a lot of kids who say stuff to because their parents said it. And that's the insults that they hear tossed around. So they grab for those, or they heard it on social media, and they do not yet know what it all they need to learn, and they need to quickly learn. And then once you've been educated, and I feel like you've been told, and you start to understand what it means and how it affects people, then it is your responsibility from there on out to make sure that you're that you take that you own that, right, and move forward with it. And I feel like he never had a chance to say, I don't remember if he did say sorry to Lily or not, but yeah, I know he knew how much that hurt to say that and stuff. So
yeah.
So anyway, sorry, Rick, I just had to get like, in case any kids are listening, because, you know, I do have some kids who like in school, and they say stuff that they, I it's every year I see it and I'm like, man, kid, the older I get, I'm like, they really are not yet developed. They're very much learning. You'd be surprised, I think, the older we get, how little kids know of the world and how and interested in how they are influenced and all that kind of stuff. And you're like, man, you need to just keep growing up, and there needs to be this sort of safety where we learn and educate and teach them and help get them to you know, more mature understanding of the world and stuff. So
yeah, but and adults too. I mean, adults say horrible stuff all the time.
Yeah, and it's important to know that you can, and you can come back from that, though. Like,
true.
Sometimes you feel like, okay, you've said something or done something, and now you have to, you're in this niche, and now you have to kind of
the best thing you can
from that, and it's too late. But
right, And that's another problem we have in our society is people believe they can't come back from something that they said or did. Mm-hmm. And so people make decisions.
And pride. It's pride often.
Yeah, that, you know, or it could also even be the people that you're around or who are trying to hold you accountable and they're not letting you, you know, kind of grow beyond where you're at. And so people make bad decisions. And it's just like, yeah, there's always, I love the stories that tell you there's always a chance. There's always a way. There's always, never give up, never quit. There's always a way to kind of find a path forward.
Right.
And make it and seek the light and seek positive, you know, kind of, outcomes and energy. So.
Yeah,
Didn't know we were going to get this serious in this chapter. I'm sorry.
No, yeah, it's interesting because in the end, like, we do have sort of a redemption arc from the Malfoys through Narcissa and also a little bit through Draco. So it's interesting to talk about that they decided to, in the end, step away from it and do some good. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Which, sorry, not to labor on it, but Narcissa, I mean, she, people sometimes wonder why she didn't do more in that moment. She'd been killed.
Yeah.
She would have been, what she did was super dangerous with Harry in the Forbidden Forest. And,
oh, absolutely.
And trying to figure out, like, is Draco alive? It was still self-preservation and things like that or whatever, a mother's love, sort of, right? But it's a little thing and just understanding where she's at and what makes sense for her being next to a whole forest of Death Eaters, the most evil people in the world out there. And you're like, shouldn't be here, but I am. And now I got to get my son out of this. She's in a pickle. So, sorry. We're all over the place. My bad.
No, I love it. I love getting into deep conversations like that and looking beyond the chapter.
Yeah.
Beyond.
Into the... she's like a Trelawney. By the way, Rika, I love Trelawney too. And every time she comes on, I'm like, I would love to be in Trelawney's class. One, I would make a lot of jokes, but I'd also be like, I'd be into it. I'd also be like, no, I don't know. I'm seeing something here. I think I'm seeing some stuff.
I know. It'd be fun to look that kind of stuff up. Yeah. But also, like, scary.
Well, also, like, just to go into some meditation, have the incense and the smells and the vibes and all of the, I don't know, get in a meditative state and feel what that's like. Who knows? Maybe something happens. Maybe I have the inner eye. I don't know. Possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody's high in the chairs.
Yeah. That's what it sounds like when Harry describes the room and everything. Yeah. And I would do wonder why Hermione actually asks him, Harry, why didn't you drop it if you don't like it? If you really, he seems to dread it almost. And there's other subjects he could have taken, like arithmancy, muggle studies, ancient runes. Like, I mean, those are all seem pretty interesting and definitely, but I understand that he wanted to take a subject with Ron. You know, that's a lot of us just took a lot of electives because our friends took them. And, but yeah, I don't know. But if they both didn't like it, why didn't they choose another subject?
I'm not sure if you can switch if you've already, like, they would have to catch up a whole year.
Oh, you mean,
I don't
see,
right? I don't see Harry and Ron as hardworking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That they have to make up. It's like, you know, you take Muggle Studies 1 in third year and then Muggle Studies 2 in fourth year. I wonder if
Muggle Studies would maybe work, but arithmancy feels like Latin, you know?
Yeah.
Like, or old runes or whatever.
Right, that it would build on each other, like the topics would build upon each other.
It's almost like you started it and you got through 1 year, so it's like one credit towards
that. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of kids, by the way, in teaching in high school who they'll start like an art class and like, well, I've already got one art credit towards my 3 for graduation. I might as well go ahead and take the next 2.
Yeah.
And they may not have liked that first art class that they were in, but they just double down and say, oh, I'm just going to do it because I've already got one done. So I don't want to go back and, you know.
It's kind of the easier way, the way of least resistance.
And it doesn't seem too hard. It seems like they actually have a good time. I know they get kind of bothered by what Trelawney says, but I feel like he and Ron have a good laugh like in there, and clearly they're cutting jokes about things.
Let's talk about the lesson here. Let's talk about Trelawney a little bit. I think it's interesting, first of all, that they get into planets and celestial movements and stuff.
Yeah.
So they have to match up, I think, their birthdays with certain planets that were dominant at that time. I don't even know what that means, but it is the planet of your birth. And we found this wiki page where it talks about which planet is the air quote ruling planet that matches up with your zodiac. And let's start with what Trelawney actually says. That's pretty interesting. So first of all, she makes a prediction again towards Harry, where she says, "You are preoccupied, my dear," she said mournfully to Harry. "My inner eye sees past your brave face to the troubled soul within. And I regret to say that your worries are not baseless. I see difficult times ahead for you, alas. Most difficult. I fear the thing you dread will indeed come to pass, and perhaps sooner than you think." Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, does she have the inner eye? Or
I'm telling you, and I've been saying it, and Rika knows this is true. Like, literally, she has, it's kind of like, think of Mad-Eye Moody's eye and where he can focus it in the inner eye. Think of how he can see beyond certain walls, right? I sometimes think that Trelawney has the inner eye, and it's just not always focused exactly. It's sort of, as she moves around the room, she catches just tidbits here and there. She's fast moving. She's teaching. She's in the moment.
So many different souls that sit there.
Yeah, there's a lot of spirits and auras and presence in the room, right? And so she's not necessarily, maybe she's, this is going to sound terrible, but maybe she has some focus issues as a teacher. And it's like some of that focus is like she's looking and she's catching a bit of it, but she needs to really concentrate to focus in on Harry Potter or something to get what's going on there. Because just looking at him in general, we'll get to it here, but I think she kind of picks up on something significant with Harry Potter in terms of his birth month.
Yes.
Right? But it's not necessarily him.
I mean, Harry sits there and he's like, "I don't know what she's talking about." Yeah, I mean, like, I was dreading Sirius isn't writing back, but he totally forgets about, he's actually dreading more than that. And in this moment, it feels like he doesn't remember that too much, or maybe he just doesn't want to. Later on, though, she sees something else. And Rika, I want to know your thoughts about this part. So she says, you know, she talks about Saturn, and Harry wasn't really paying attention. He's like, "Born under what? Sorry," said Harry. "Saturn, dear, the planet Saturn," said Professor Trelawney, sounding definitely irritated that he wasn't riveted by this news. "I was saying that Saturn was surely in a position of power in the heavens at the moment of your birth. Your dark hair, your mean stature, tragic losses so young in life. I think I am right in saying, my dear, that you were born in midwinter." "No," said Harry. "I was born in July."
I love that. I actually have like a note in my book at that part, and it just goes, "Boundaries."
Yeah, true. Right?
I don't know, for a teacher to evaluate you like this.
Mm-hmm. It's
strange.
True.
It is strange. It's like, let me.
You didn't ask for that.
The whole class is strange, right? Is that you have to, like, you're starting to look into somebody's personal future or their. Mm-hmm. You know, just things, signs and symbols around them, and the fact that, like, even last year when she was talking about, I don't know, was it Neville's toad? Was it Lavender? Something, the thing that Lavender was going to be dreading was going to happen in her
rabbit dies.
And you're like, these could be very personal things that are being brought to the attention of the whole class.
Right.
And you're going to have to deal with it. It's a little strange. Having them keep like maybe a private journal about what it is that you're experiencing in your own orb. What are you seeing in your own tea leaves? And, you share that with your teacher and they help you interpret it. I don't know. It is a little boundary crossing, I'd say. But
But also, now that you said something like, "Is it not Harry?" I think I've heard this theory that she's reading the Horcrux.
Yes.
And right.
If you reread it thinking she might be seeing parts of Tom Riddle's soul here, it totally seems to line up, because she says Saturn, first of all, was in a position of power. And on the wiki, Saturn, so we know, when is Tom Riddle's birthday? December
31st.
Yeah.
So Saturn, let me look it up on here. Saturn is Capricorn, and that's December 21st to January 20. So that means Saturn was strong during that time. Dark hair. We know that Tom Riddle had dark hair. Your mean stature. Now, does Harry have a mean stature? What's that?
What does it actually mean?
Does that mean he looks mean? No.
Yeah, it could mean like a mean bearing, like his body, his presence, but it also a mean stature, I think, is like your, I think she more means like your personality and your presence, a mean presence, but
that sounds, I don't know. That doesn't sound very much like Harry at all. And then tragic losses so young in life. We know that Tom's mother died in childbirth, and then also his father left him. I think I'm right in saying, my dear, that you were born in midwinter, and December 31st totally is midwinter. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that theory to me, totally canon.
Right.
Because why would she? I mean, everything lines up. It makes so much sense. And they kind of laugh at her, and she's totally wrong. Think she's totally wrong. But yeah, if you think about Tom Riddle's soul she's seeing in there.
Something that's also interesting, and I'm just going to go ahead and throw this out here for... this is where Rika's going to think I'm ridiculous, and it's okay, because I am, and I like being ridiculous. I've already experienced my Saturn return, okay? I am of age. I have already passed my first Saturn return.
Oh, yeah, that's Saturn return thing. Yeah.
So just so you two are prepared, okay, for when this is about to hit, right around the age of 30, anywhere from, 29 to 31... you'll be experiencing your Saturn return. I just think it's interesting. The first time I heard about this, and since we brought up Saturn, the idea that when you're born, right, it's in this position, right? And it won't be in that position for another 30 years.
Yeah.
And when it returns to that position where it was originally when you were born, you will be experiencing this great presence in the heavens coming back into its original position where it was when you were born. And you'll have this rebirth moment and hardship, and you'll come anew. You'll be reborn. You'll transform. I just think it's funny. And I first heard it during 2020, because COVID hit and all were on our phones. And I'm sitting here like, what's going on? Got in the spiritual side of TikTok, and somebody's talking about your Saturn return. And they're talking about their ages and their birth years and stuff. And so I throw mine in there. And that apparently I was going through my roundabout, very close to my Saturn return. So saying, get ready for it. And maybe something to look into with some of these characters as they enter their 30s. Snape in particular.
True.
Too,
Yeah.
A great rebirth. I definitely experience more connections to my inner child again.
Around
my 29th birthday, I'm like, I don't have to pretend I don't like this anymore. I love Harry Potter. Sorry. I still play Pokemon. Whatever.
didn't we look up and we were going to ask Rika? So since I'm a December birthday.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's get into that.
She is as well. Does that mean...
So your planet is also, first of all, Capricorn, Saturn. You're just, 1 day away from being two days away from
Sagittarius.
Sagittarius.
Yeah.
But you're just in the Capricorn.
So if you're early December, what is that?
Yeah. Early December?
No.
I'm 20th. I'm still a Sagittarius.
Oh, so yes, you were only a few days apart. So that means you are Sagittarius. Jupiter is your planet. And it says on here, this is just a wiki page, WikiHow, expansion, optimism, and abundance. Your element is fire. Luck is in your nature because of your ruling planet. Opportunity and good fortune always seem to be on your doorstep. And you're never afraid to take on whatever the universe has in store. Being the largest planet, Jupiter represents your go-getter attitude and willingness to grow. So take a lesson from your planet and embark on an adventure that will broaden your horizon.
Oh, boy. Oh, wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah, what do you sounds think? Good.
Yeah, right? It sounds pretty good.
It's so funny because when I lived in Mexico, I kind of got into the Mayan culture a little bit.
Yeah.
And they also have, it's kind of like star signs.
Yeah.
And the sign I am is very similar to what you just read. Also like abundance and always lucky and all the things.
That is so interesting. When I was little and learned, kids learn about the zodiac signs. Sagittarius was always my favorite. I'm not, but I always wished I was. I'm an Aquarius. It always was funny to me as a kid. I'm like, oh, I'm a, you know, in German, Wassermann. And I'm like, I'm not a man. In that regard, like, it's just your, you know, it has a male connotation. And I'm like, oh, that sucks. But yeah, it makes more sense in Aquarius in English. It's less, even though like Latin endings, U.S. is still supposed to be male, but whatever.
So what's that?
That is, guess what it is.
Don't know.
Uranus, my dear.
Yeah, no kidding. I couldn't believe that. I was like, wait a second. How is it that I'm Saturn and then you're...
No, right?
Uranus. It
doesn't. I don't know. I don't super identify with that. It's like rebellion, eccentricity, and upheaval. Your unexpected and innovative habits are influenced by Uranus. This planet rotates on its axis in a different direction from other planets, making it a little different than the rest. Like Uranus, you turn the opposite way of the crowd and aren't afraid of change. You're most likely the rebel of the group, the revolutionary, ready to make the world a better place. I've always been a rule follower, like no one's, like, really, I was always afraid to make mistakes.
Yes, your German clashes with your stuff.
That's true. That's funny.
Rika, just so you know, I've refrained. We were in the car, and I was making up a bunch of jokes, planetary jokes, I'll say it, and then I was like, we have a guest, I gotta be good, you know? I was like, man, are you kidding me? I forgot that you said that was your planet.
Yeah.
What are the odds? What are the odds that that's your planet, and then Saturn, and then we have Jupiter, which is really cool.
No.
Jupiter, by the way, don't mess with Jupiter. Jupiter is like...
Awesome, yeah.
Yeah, it's the... It's the big one. Cool. Try to look up, like, when does Uranus have its return? Or how often, I guess, is the...
Now we're really getting deep.
Oh my gosh. Uranus' return happens at 84 years old.
Oh, okay.
So, well, that will be your great kind of...
I don't know if I'm going to be here for that.
That's crazy, though, to think about.
But wait, so since I'm born under Jupiter, I have to wait for Jupiter return to be?
Yeah, let me see.
That's what it means.
Yeah, it's like, so
everybody
can have
a Saturn return.
Yeah, everyone can have a Saturn return, but I am looking at, like, your particular planet, so let's look up, like, Jupiter and see, you know, how often it does. It's just kind of, I think, funny to think about when those planets come back to their... you know, position, original position or whatever. But yeah, everybody can have a Saturn return. Wherever its position was, and then it returns back there. I think they pick on Saturn because it has this symbolism and stuff or whatever, and it's also like 30 years is not too bad. We all can, like, more people experience that that Saturn return than they do that Uranus return. Jiminy.
Yeah, it's very... fuzzy what it actually means. It's like ruling planets are the reigning force of astrology, influencing every single sign on your chart. Each planet rules a specific zodiac sign, which in turn directly impacts your personality. I don't know.
Oh.
It's, again.
Right, okay. So Jupiter, this is just cool, interesting facts, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is, again, a Google search, so take this where I could be wrong. But it says that every 12 years, Jupiter comes back to the same exact spot it was when you were born. So you'll experience your Jupiter return at the age of 12, 24, 36, 48, 60, and so on. So
that's cool.
Interesting years to pay attention. Maybe something's going down.
Like Jupiter more and more.
Yeah.
It's Jupiter, a cool planet.
Every 12 years, cool. Maybe there's some extra power, some extra juice we get.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. So anyway, cool, interesting to think about. What's funny is like you go back to what was Tron even saying with his? She was just saying that it was in a position. She was just trying to predict when he was born.
Connected, yeah, to his birthday and like show him. Oh, because I can see the ruling planet. When you were born. Like, I don't know, maybe demonstrating her
power. So since she could see that ruling planet, she then could figure out when everyone was sort of born without knowing or something. Maybe.
Harry was also, she wanted, I think Harry looks like he's dozing off almost.
Yeah, maybe we missed half of the lesson and we don't really know what the objective was for Trelawney.
I think so.
So yeah,
I mean, that makes sense. It makes sense that Harry and Ron would not know what's going on, and so we're learning through them. Right. Not, you know, if this were Hermione in this class and we were through her point of view.
Yeah, and if she wasn't, so her predisposition already was negative towards Trelawney.
Well, actually, sometimes when you have that, I think it'd be interesting more to have Hermione in this class because she doesn't really like it. I'd like to hear her question it a bit more. Ask those questions, not just sort of take what Trelawney's giving us and really double down and see what she knows. Or what's his name? Frenzy?
Frenzy,
Frenzy, when he shows up later, like put Hermione back in that class and and start to get some real questions answered here. Let's start to.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
To see those two argue.
Just to hear what he has to say.
Yep.
But anyway.
Yeah.
The stars.
All right.
I think that would be a fun thing to look into. Like, the subject seems, like you said, not too difficult and more like mysterious and interesting. And clearly Lavender and her friend, is it Parvati?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're totally into it, which is cool.
Yeah.
One last thing I want to talk about definitely in this chapter is the magical creature part. So Hagrid introduces these new creatures. And, I mean, Malfoy raises a very valid question. Why are we even taking care of these things? They seem pretty dangerous. What can they do? And Hagrid doesn't even know. But what Hagrid could have said, as from a teacher's point of view, you know, what is the learning opportunity here? They're, you know, to study a new species of magical creatures, something, a species no one has ever really studied before, which is interesting, but also probably illegal, because he just crossbred manticores with fire crabs, which is certainly illegal to just crossbreed whatever you want. And then here you go, students, figure out what they can do. We don't really know if they're dangerous or not. I think they might be sucking blood. They also blast fire or like sparks out of their rear ends. And we learn later, I want to read this, after several months, and this is all within this year, because later they become important when they go into the maze. That's what they put in the maze. And Harry luckily knows how to deal with them. But after several months, Scroots grew to about 10 feet long. Right now they're small. They just hatched. And they were incredibly dangerous and probably quite lethal. They resembled giant scorpions with stingers curled over their backs. Their shiny armor deflected most spells, and they used their blasts to propel themselves at a foe. Its single undefended spot was its armorless underside. And this was from the chapter 31 later, the third task. But interesting, Hermione kind of defends Hagrid in front of Malfoy and says, well, just because they are not pretty, they might come in handy. They might be useful. And she doesn't really believe in that, though. But look how useful they could be if you can extract that armor and make an actual armor out of it. They seem to deflect most spells, which is huge.
Yeah, just to guard your house or something.
Yeah.
Yes, I mean anything, like yourself, if you want to put some armor on.
What's crazy is you reference like dragons or whatever in this, and then you think of, I think of like Smaug from Lord of the Rings or whatever, and like having, where was he vulnerable? Was his belly, his armor.
Right, just one spot where there's no armor.
Yeah, or whatever. So,
I think it's totally underrated. They don't really, later on, they don't really talk about that anymore.
What, blasting its Groots?
Yeah, and the possibilities with their armor they could use.
Oh, yeah, right. Like, we were playing...
Well,
I think
they basically go extinct after this.
Yeah,
because they kill each other all the time, and then the last one is in the maze, I think.
That's the last one.
Finished off.
Right, and it seems like Harry either just knocked it out, or it's actually, you know, dead. I don't know.
Yeah.
But what I was also... When I read this, I was like... It was several boxes, and in each box, about 100.
Really?
There's so many of them.
Wow, I didn't read about that. That's something.
That's nuts.
I missed. Oh, you're only just hatched. Let's see. You're probably right. That's a huge amount. And, I mean, Ron points out they're very small right now. So think about if they're lobster-like creatures, they're probably, like, just a few inches and...
Right.
small. I don't know if it says it here. But wow, a few hundred, that's gross. Definitely would not be.
Imagine if they get loose, you know?
Right. I mean, wouldn't you be afraid that some of them
I wouldn't be. I'd be having nightmares.
Yeah.
So,
you're right. There were about 100 of them in each crate, each about six inches long, crawling over one another, bumping blindly into the sides of the boxes. So they, right now, they seem to be blind. I don't know if they still are when they grow up. Wow.
Well, they don't really have a face, is what they say, right?
Right, they don't have a... So Harry says, why do we try to feed them? They don't seem to have a mouth.
Hagrid.
I'd be like, Hagrid, you're cool, but...
Hold on.
He's right.
Did Dumbledore come down at some point and check in on Hagrid?
No one checks on him.
And just be like... What are you, Hagrid? Come here. You know, come here. What's going on? And then, okay, we need to figure out a reason for why you did this. Let's put one of these in the maze as an obstacle. It's just crazy.
But that's what people are saying. Like, Professor Umbridge next year, everyone hates her. And the way she does it is questionable. But this is the first time where actually someone, an outsider, comes in and checks on what are they being taught, unless you count, you know, the newts and owls, which are tests that are, I'm guessing, like, for example, students from Beauxbatons and from Durmstrang, they also probably take these tests. They seem like either, I don't know if they're national standardized tests or if other schools have the same sort of tests. So it's, you know, like bachelor degrees are kind of worldwide now. And you can compare them somewhat. They're still different, but...
Right, except for, I mean, and Rika probably knows this, which is when you go from different, you go into different countries and you want to transfer your documents, we had to go through a whole international agency to validate that your bachelor's degree was the equivalent to our bachelor's degree. Right. And I was like, what? It's a bachelor's degree, but hey, we got to translate it and make sure.
Well, here it's 4 years long versus 3 years Germany.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking about Germany. It's like it could be other countries where things may be very different or something. Yeah. So, but it isn't. It's fun to think about like the different schools and what kind of tests they have, and do they have some examination? I'm sure they have some. I don't know if it's called an owl or a newt. It's probably called something different, but they probably have the same.
I think Fleur says something that they take their tests a year later.
Really?
Like the not in fifth, but in sixth?
Oh, that would be
cool.
Very interesting, because is she in her fifth year right now? Because we were thinking about, you know, students from the other schools or even Hogwarts, and they have this tournament going on, but some of them also have to take their big exams, which is kind of like, ooh, that could interrupt their studies, and I would feel at a disadvantage.
Yeah.
Yeah, because also they are exempt from tests.
True.
Right?
Yeah,
Harry doesn't have to take the exams.
Right.
Wait, isn't Cedric is a 6 year?
Well, isn't six is fine.
Six is nothing. 5 and 7 are the big years at Hogwarts. 5 and 7, So we're lucky that that's why no seventh grader was chosen. I don't think she's really thought that through.
That's great, though, because I'm always looking for plot holes for ideas and theories and shorts. So perfect.
Yeah, what about the people who have to take exams?
Interesting, yeah.
Enter. Or they have another opportunity to take that exam at a later point in time.
Probably.
You know how, I don't know, it's not really possible with, like, in Germany you have your Abitur, which is sent, like, you have to take it at that certain day. But it seems like here you have your high school test, the ACT, or there's different tests, but you can also take them later and it's fine.
Oh, yeah, take them whenever you want.
Yeah. It's less centralized testing, like a testing
day. Yeah, you can take it later, you can take it earlier.
You can take it outside of school. It's like
outside of school, yeah. So
it's like more like your
testing centers.
Bigger, but like your driver's license test, you can take it
when you're ready. Yeah.
Yeah, whenever you're ready. Yeah. So
show what you know.
And this all came from really just like their education is not really monitored. Like, I mean, Hagrid last year, his end of year exam was just take care of flubberworms for an hour, and they don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
Like, which, no one checks. Like, you could just, I mean, do whatever you want.
Yeah. It's so in Germany, do they have like a, I'm guessing they have like an overseeing body that will come in, evaluate teachers
not
in schools?
Not many, though.
To see if they're teaching.
Sometimes they do, but not like here. Here you have evaluations, like your principal and the assistant principals. They will come in and evaluate every single teacher 1 to 2 times a year. That's the thing
here.
No, that doesn't happen in Germany at all. You're right. It's kind of like, but you have a standardized curriculum that you need to follow. You have people that, like, when you go into teaching and go into your subject, you will learn about that, and you're like, the head of department will, you know, like, they have meetings where they make sure they kind of are on the same page. But yeah, it's less like your principal is not really likely to come in and check on you because they have so many other things to do.
Just imagine for a second, though, that Dumbledore has to roll in once a year to every teacher's class with a couple lemon drops, and he tosses them in. He's got his, you know,
that'd be kind of fun.
Like, his quill is up there in the air, kind of magically writing down some notes for him. And he's just, everybody has outstanding observations. He's like, I got other stuff to deal with.
You have both Dumbledore and McGonagall do it, and you're like, either you get Dumbledore or you get McGonagall as your evaluator.
And you want Dumbledore because he's sort of like, that's good.
So chill. And I don't know, he would probably chuckle at the blast-ended Scroots and think it's funny.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah. So.
Okay.
Interesting day of classes.
Yeah.
To end this chapter, this was a question I was going to ask you at the beginning of the chapter when they study their new schedules and they examine their like Monday schedule. I was going to ask both of you guys, give me your perfect Monday schedule at Hogwarts.
Oh, classes we would go to?
Like, no, the closing question. Yeah, classes that if you look at your schedule and you say, wow, this is a perfect Monday, I love it. Like, you actually are excited to start the new week because the classes on Monday are so cool.
Yeah.
How
many classes do you get per week at Hogwarts? So,
this is kind of
during the first and second year, students must take all 7 core classes 3 times per week, along with flying lessons twice per week. Mm-hmm. Per week, sorry. So, third and fourth year students. So, we're in fourth year. Students must take Charms, Defense Against the Dark Arts, History, Potions, and Transfiguration. They have to take those 3 times a week. So that's Charms, Defense Against the History, Potions.
And if they have a double lesson, that means they already have taken it twice?
So they have to take that. So basically your Monday, Wednesday, Friday, it sounds like you have to take it 3 times a week. I know we're just picking our hypothetical, what's our favorite classes kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I'm just trying. Now you got me thinking, like, I've never really paid attention to
I don't know if it lines up because they say they don't have DADA until Thursday if they have to have it 3 times a week. And they could have a double lesson at some point and then have it Thursday and Friday.
How many classes are they taking, though? So during their third and fourth year, students must take Charms, Defense Against the Dark Arts, History, Potions, Transfiguration, and then they also have to take astronomy and herbology 2 times a week. And then students must choose 2 electives. That's like 9 classes.
But remember, they don't have every class every day.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So still, though, that's 9 classes you're keeping track of.
But I think we had that in Germany in school, right? About 9 or 10.
And so they're just kind of paced throughout the week. Whatever.
Yeah. You only have some subjects you only have once or twice, and then some others have 3 times. And again, it seems like they have double lessons. So, for example, they have double divination this afternoon. If they only take it twice a week, I would think that's the only time they have it.
Yeah. Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Well, okay. So to start on a Monday, if Rika doesn't mind, like just to think things that I would want to start off with, like my favorite classes. Honestly, I think potions, not like outside of. I don't know. I know they have issues with Snape, and everybody kind of like hates him or whatever. I feel like I would have been a really good, studious Hufflepuff.
Yeah.
I would have been in the class. I would have been doing my thing. And Snape, I just follow the book, do my thing. It seems like it's
Plus, we never experience a Hufflepuff Ravenclaw class because it's always Gryffindor and Slytherin together, and we know tensions are high. He hates Harry. He also is head of house for Slytherin, so it could be very different.
But I think when I watch like ambience videos and I think of like when we play Hogwarts Legacy, I'm like, this is kind of cool. You just get your recipe list, you get your stuff out, you work at your own pace sort of, and you start to chop up and create your potion. And I'm like, all right, this is sort of independent work. That's why I think it would be more fun for me to start.
Just follow a recipe.
Yeah, just to start off with like potions. Unless the potions teacher was super hard to work with, then I'd be like, okay, Snape, if you're going to target me, I'm also not wanting to start my week off like this. But yeah, I don't know. My first class would just be potions. And then I think it'd be fun to go to herbology afterwards. And
Looks like you have three classes, two before, after breakfast, you have two classes. And then you could have either two different classes in the afternoon, or they seem to have a double lesson.
I tell you when I would have history of magical history, I would have that after lunch or something. Or no, I'd have it at a time where I was nice and alert.
Yeah.
Which is either going
to
be
I think
like,
after lunch would be very dreadful to have history after.
Yeah, I think I'd be a little tired after lunch. So I would need time to recover, maybe like a recovery class, and then get that second wind. So I'm really locked into the class or whatever. Or have it, early in the morning with some coffee. So maybe I would start off with history or potions. Not sure. One of those two.
Okay.
That's my thoughts. Yeah.
All right. Rika, what would be your ideal Monday?
I think I would start with herbology. Get your hands dirty.
Yes.
Something.
Be outside. Kind of.
Yeah. I think I would enjoy charms.
Yeah.
Yep.
With Professor Flitwick, she seems so cool as a teacher.
Yeah.
Like a good, nice in between. He's not very stern, but he also teaches them a lot, which is great.
Yeah. I think that's just a good lesson that flies where time flies by, which is good.
Yeah.
And then after, I think I would do divination.
Yes. That sounds
right.
Yeah. I think I should have said divination too.
Like it feels like a cool class after lunch.
Oh, I'd pass out probably after lunch. I don't know. Like that's, I think I would maybe need something more up and
more
active.
Chill, though.
Yeah, I feel like after lunch, though, I do want to do something more defense against the dark arts or something that you got to get up out of your seat and move around. Because this is just us being adults, and we're all kind of like, after you have that lunch. I even see my kids, they come in after lunch. Some of them are really good, and they have more energy, and some are like asleep. Instantly, they're like, wow, thanks for the food, and they pass out. But I like divination, and I think, something... a soothing way maybe to end the day for me, possibly. I'm just thinking out loud. Like I like the idea of it being chill, and then you wrap up. It's nice. And then you had a lot of, fun classes throughout the day. And then it comes in, it's nice and calm. You reflect on it. You let that learning soak in and roll right on to some yummy dinner, relax with a book out by the, the lake or something. Gosh.
Yeah.
I can just see myself at Hogwarts sometimes.
Yeah, I know. Oh, I think we all can.
Definitely.
Yeah, okay. Cool.
You want to know my perfect Monday?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think we all agree. I love the idea of starting the day off with herbology. That's just so cool to, have your breakfast. It seems like they're not starting super duper early. Also, it's still September, so it's definitely not dark outside, but it's nice to think of a morning where the sun is up, you get your breakfast, you can wake up with your friends for a little bit, and then you go over to the greenhouse, like just going outside through the vegetable patches and see, the grounds, and then go to the greenhouses. It just seems so magical and so fun. That definitely I would want that too as my first class. And then I know this is more for first graders, maybe second graders, and not for older students anymore, but I would love to have flying lessons right after. Stay outside and have, I think that would be one of my favorite classes for sure, would be flying lessons. I always wanted to, when I was a little kid, I always wanted to be able to fly. I mean, like many of us probably, but I don't know, I had dreams about how cool it would be to just fly around and see the world from up there. So definitely that would be, my next class, and it seems like it's also not too far away, so you're just kind of outside. And then I would probably after lunch probably would like to have Transfiguration.
Yeah,
because Transfiguration is I think a very interesting subject. I also like Professor McGonagall, like in the afternoon, it feels like after the fun lessons in the morning, you then have a lesson where you feel like you have to pay more attention. You have to, you get things done. You know, it's like one of those, I used to have a math teacher, like an 11th grade or so. And she was very much like, she was very nice to you, especially if you were, you know, a good student and you followed her instructions. She showed you step by step, this is what you have to do. There was not a lot of talking aloud and not a lot of like, you know, project-based work, which is, I think it's important in school that you have both lots of projects and self-paced work, but also guided instruction and step by step, this is how you do it, because that's like just two different learning styles that are important in class. And she leaned more towards that style. And I think, so it was Professor McGonagall. And sometimes I need that, you know, I'm very much like follow instructions, except for when I'm cooking. That's why I think.
Yeah. Little potions master over there.
But like this, and you feel like it's a little bit of a more difficult subject to grasp. So like challenging, I would say. So yeah, I don't know. That would be something cool to have between lunch. And then you feel like you worked hard. You deserve your dinner. You can, you know, now relax after this more challenging class. I don't know.
I like it. I like it. The only thing I think I'm out on is the flying lessons.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. The heights, I'm like, you know, I want to know how to do it, but at the same time, I would like to travel in a different way. So
I want to think that professor, that she's not a professor, Madam Hooch, would teach the kids something like emergency. You know how in when you learn judo, you learn how to fall first? Like my little cousin, she was into judo, and she told me always like, yeah, you learn how you fall so you can be safe.
It's the safety aspect of it.
Right.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's, she has some sort, I mean, what happened to Neville was kind of awful in the first lesson. She should be prepared for that when students, for the first time of their lives, will mount a broom, that she would be ready for that. But that's another topic. But I would hope that they nowadays would teach you something that you could do, or some safe way to get, like, you know, first fly a little bit and then get higher and higher as you get more advanced. But yeah. So.
Yeah, it's probably because of Neville, right? That they had to change how they start their first lesson. But
maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any other thoughts on this chapter?
Just the mention, we're starting on SPEW.
And I
really enjoy Hermione. That.
True, she's dashing off to the library. She's now eating like a champ. To go to the library, and she's again very mysterious. That happens often. Last year she wouldn't tell Harry and Ron what she's up to, well, because she wasn't allowed to, but even this time I think she wants to get ahead first and see what this is going to evolve into, which I like. I think it's cool that she has this passion, and she doesn't have to make a fuss about it right now. She just wants to do and then later present this idea to them.
If I were Harry or Ron, I would find it very annoying.
If
my best friend didn't tell me and like...
True, and just like says bye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's something she doesn't know, which Hermione typically knows everything.
Mm.
And so I think she's like,
there
are house elves here. That shocked her.
Yeah.
And she's like, she's read everything she can. And so there's this secret thing, not really secret, but it's just so accepted that never makes it into, it's not significant to make it into a book that she would learn about. And so she is super peeved about that, and she's like, wait, what? And then also, you see, so then she's sort of like, I'm gonna figure this out. So it's another intrigue, which is, how did I not know about this?
How was it not part of Hogwarts history?
That's what I'm saying.
She even says something like that in the next few chapters, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. She mentions the book Hogwarts History, or like, and then she like, this is on the book, like, or like,
yeah, that's her go-to reference.
Not completely,
yeah.
Right. Yes.
Wow.
Crazy, right?
That
so
that is sad.
Yeah, and it's just because I think she's starting to understand. Well, this is written by witches and wizards, and her outside perspective is like, what's up with this? And so she's very, she's gonna go on her little mission and one day become Minister for Magic, and
yes,
change all. She is on it. She's a little advocate. But I think it's cool. Yeah, she's out doing her thing, doing this research, and she's definitely intrigued by this. And it's like, yeah, we forget sometimes because we're following Harry. It's cool. It's a cool way, actually, as a writer, I think, to kind of like throughout the series sort of say, hey, Harry and Hermione don't really know everything. And Ron's like, it's just normal. So he doesn't really know what to tell them all the time. Mm-hmm. And eventually he's like, oh, yeah, by the way, that's also what we do in the wizarding world. And that's just a thing. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, OK. Yeah. So it allows you to, like, when you come up with new ideas in book four, book five or six, you can just drop them in there. And Ron's like, oh, yeah, he's kind of the silly, like, yeah, we also do that. So anyway. But yep, you're right. So she's getting after it. And that'll be something to pay attention to in the next couple, throughout the rest of this book and the rest of the series. Yeah. Hermione's going to be on it. So, okay. Anything else?
Yeah, anything else?
For the good of the group? Mm-hmm.
I think we covered a lot.
Good work,
yeah,
group.
Yeah, we did. We covered.
Good work, team.
Good job, us. That was like an hour. We talked. That's an hour and 40 minutes. I didn't run out.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah.
So some of us will probably like have to go to the bathroom. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right, friends. Well, that's all for this week. Thank you for tuning in to Shell Cottage Radio 94.7 COZY. We hope that you're going to join us in the future. We thoroughly do enjoy meeting new positive Potter people that don't be like babbling, bumbling bands of baboons.
Baboons!
Like Rika. If you don't want to miss out on the next episode, then be sure to subscribe to our podcast, leave us a review, and follow over on social media at Fleur and Bill.
If you truly enjoy our content, consider supporting our growing wizarding family on Patreon or Apple Premium. You'll find all the links down below. Thank you so much to all our current patrons. We appreciate you, to Luna and back. On our next reread episode, we will discuss Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, Chapter 14, The Unforgivable Curses. So make sure you tune back in next time, and until then, have a great rest of your week. Thanks for joining us in our shell cottage today. We know it's not much, but it's home.
A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.